this is a new face. This is Elliot Branch. Now, Elliot and Hillary and I, we've known each other for 30 years, okay? We commend him to you this morning. How we met was, Elliot was the teaching assistant in Hillary's undergraduate college course. And so they sat in the back of the classroom together because Hillary wanted to pay attention in the class. And so Elliot would come and just join her, and they started a conversation. Well, the years kind of went by, and Elliot decided that he wanted to become a missionary. And he went to the country of Laos. And Laos is a closed country, and so what it requires is for someone to manage all of his communications, his finances in the United States, and be a filter to make sure that things didn't get through to Laos, that things that shouldn't, like the name Jesus, because it's a communist country. And so we, Hillary and Elliot, struck up this partnership together. And since then, he spent about 15 years in Laos, and subsequent to that, he came back to the United States. He lives in Louisville, Kentucky, and started a mission organization called Mekong Multiply. Okay? Now, I want to say this in advance. He's going to tell you all about it. But what I want to do is, in advance, if you are interested, after you're done here, you're like, I don't know this guy. I've never seen him. I know nothing about him. If you're interested in blessing him today, or finding out more information, or want to support him in any way, after you've heard what you think, like, that sounds like a really great idea. Maybe I'd like to find out more information. You can do it in a number of ways. Number one, you can donate directly to Mount Helena Community Church using Elliot Branch as kind of your, what do you call it? Your memo. Yeah, your memo. You can donate online. You could put it as something in the box. You can talk to me, Hillary, JR, or Jason. You could talk to Elliot directly. Or if you're just interested in finding out more information, please go stop and visit all those tables. South Africa, Southeast Asia, there's lots going on out there. Mexico, you can find out more information about what Mount Helena is doing in the nations. Okay, so you can scan the QR code, go to his website, it's mekongmultiply.com, and find out more information there. Hillary, what am I missing?
I think you covered it.
I think I covered it all. So, I commend you to him. He is a good friend, a trustworthy voice. Would you please welcome Mr. Elliot Branch?
There we go. Good morning, everyone. I'm very, very happy to be here with you this morning. If you have not heard this scripture before, I'm going to quote it as best as I can for you. And I want you to hear this. It comes from the book of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. In another scripture in Acts chapter 2, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. And to do that, I'm just draw a blank there. This is the gospel message that we preach, right? And if you've not heard that before, we want you to hear that. We want you to know Jesus, and we want you to repent, to turn to him, to believe in him, to put your faith, your trust in him, and to be baptized in him, to become his disciple, to follow him for the rest of your life. Now, chances are most of you have heard that message before. Once, twice, how many times? 100? 1,000? 100,000 times? And that's what is I want to share with you. I want to share about this with you this morning is the gospel. Now, chances are, if you live in a place like Helena, Montana, or if you live anywhere in the United States and you don't know anything about Jesus and you want to hear the gospel, you got some options, don't you? You can go to, you know, churches on almost every corner. I rode down the street here in town, saw a big sign that said Jesus on it. You probably have a Christian radio station here. I know you do. I've been listening to it in the trucks. You got Christian bookstores. You can go online. There's lots of opportunities, especially for us who live in America and speak the English language. There's a lot of opportunities for us to hear about Jesus if we really want to. But if you live somewhere where nobody speaks English and there are no Christians around, then it is a different story. Could you imagine being born in one of these places? And the thing I want to share with you is that this is not rare. In fact, more than one third of our world has not yet heard the good news of Jesus, not even once. It's been said before that nobody deserves to hear the gospel twice while there remains someone who is yet to hear it once. And yet I've literally heard it a million times, I think. And this is actually about 40% of our world's population. Over 3 billion people have not heard the gospel. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, come on, surely everyone's heard the gospel already, right? We got TV, we got the internet, you know? We got Google Translate. Can't we just type in the gospel into Google Translate and say, here, listen to this? Well, there's a lot of languages that aren't even on Google Translate. And that's not the most effective way to do it. And while there are over 3 billion people in this world who have not yet heard the gospel, they might know that there's a religion out there called Christianity. They might know that there's the main person in that religion is Jesus, but that's it. It's kind of like if you wanted to become a Theravada Buddhist. You've probably heard that there's a religion out there called Buddhism, right? But if you wanted to become a Buddhist today, how would you do that? You wouldn't know how to do that. Well, that's true for a lot of the people in the world. They've heard of Christianity. They may have even heard the name of Jesus, but they don't know how to become his disciple. And while there are over 3 billion people like this in the world, today I want to share a story about one of them. This woman's name is Jyota. Now, that's her real name. In my book, I use pseudonyms, and I forget what her pseudonym is, but her real name is Jyota. Now, this woman's story is very interesting because she is from the Mien tribe in the country of Laos. That's the tribe that, when I moved there, we were focusing on reaching this tribe. And she had gotten married. This tribe is animists, and so they worship spirits. They do ceremonies to placate the spirits of the forest, of the house, of the village, of the river, of the tree, of the mountain, that kind of thing. And when she got married, she did all the ceremonies to join her husband's spirits and his family and move to a different province to be with him. Now, he was a terrible husband. He beat her. He cheated on her. He used drugs. He threatened to kill her. He got into all kinds of trouble, and she decided, I've had enough of this. I'm going to divorce him. And so she left him, took her kids, moved back to Luangpabang province where she was from, and she said, Dad, I've come home. This guy was a piece of trash, and so I left him. And he said, well, you already did the ceremony to cut yourself off from our family spirits to join his family spirits. So you can't come back in. And she was like, well, what do I do? And he said, this is amazing. This is the Holy Spirit working, because this man was not a believer. But he said, well, become a Christian then. And so she was like, okay, I'll do that. But the problem was, is she didn't know any Christians. She didn't know how to become a Christian. She got set up selling eggs in the local market, and she sat there for 6 years wondering, how am I going to become a Christian? And she thought to herself, maybe I have to hire somebody to come and pay them to come and share the gospel with me. Isn't that amazing? That there's people out there just wanting to hear the gospel, but for 6 years, no one came to share it with her. And it so happened that 1 month after my wife and I moved to this city, a relative of the Mien community who lived in America and had become a believer traveled to our city, found her, shared the gospel with her, and she became a follower of Christ. And then he had to go back home, and so he handed her off to us. And so every morning or every week, we would bring her over to our house and start discipling her, and her along with her daughter, and reading through the Gospel of Luke and just learning about the scriptures together. And she grew in her faith. And one day she said, I know this other woman, at the market who sells eggs, and she's in her 50s. She's never been married. She's afraid, what is she going to do when she dies? Because if you don't have kids and you die, you don't have anyone to feed your spirit after you're dead. And so she had a spiritual problem. And so Chiltat said, hey, why don't you become a Christian along with me? So she was very nervous. She showed up at her house and we started reading the Bible. But she became a believer and she became so passionate about Jesus. She was so happy to know that our hope is in what Christ did on the cross, not on what our children do to feed our spirit after we die. And so she started reading her Bible every day at the market. And one week she came to our house and she said, you know what? I have a sister in Sinyabali province, kind of another province over, and I want her to know Jesus. How about we go share it with her? My wife was, I think she was pregnant with our first son at that time. She said, yeah, let's go on Saturday. So we all decided to take this mission trip on Saturday to drive my truck all the way down. I asked how far away it was. They said, it's about 2 hours. And so that Saturday we drove for 2 hours. And then we drove for another 3 hours and we got there and we weren't prepared to sleep there. And so I'm like, wow, we just drove 5 hours here and we're way out in the middle of nowhere. This big truck and this white guy. And I'm like, man, I was starting to feel very nervous. I'm like, we stick out like a sore thumb and someone's going to report us. We're going to get arrested on the way home. I was certain of it. And so when we rolled up to her village and to her sister's house, I kind of wanted to temper things and to kind of, say, let's be careful. So I said to them before we got out of the truck, I said, let's be really careful here because we can get in big trouble. Let's just kind of go and talk about general life. How's the weather? You know, how are the Seahawks doing? Something like that. and then maybe before we leave, we'll tell her we're Christians and we can pray a blessing for them, something like that. And they're like, okay. And we stepped out of the truck. Her sister walks out of her house. And the first thing she says is, you need to believe in Jesus. And we stepped out of the truck. Her sister walks out of her house. And the first thing she says is, you need to believe in Jesus. David, or Elliot, tell her. And so for the next hour, we were just scrambling around, sharing the gospel in Lao language and Mian language. And I was like, oh no, we're going to really get in trouble now. And her sister had a daughter. And she was sitting there, just had this weird look on her face, like, this is the strangest thing I'd ever heard. And she said, I have one question. I was like, yeah, okay, good. If we become Christians, can we still drink alcohol? And I was like, man, this question already? And so we did our best to explain about that. And understand the most important thing is that God is our creator. He loved us and he died for us, and we get forgiveness of sins. And it became clear they weren't really interested in forgiveness of sins. They wanted to get out of poverty. You know, what can Jesus do for us for that? And when we left that day, I thought, man, this was a waste of time. They have no interest in following Jesus. You know, it's not what they're looking for. And I felt very discouraged. And I thought, we can get in trouble on top of all this. We didn't, thankfully. A month later, the niece of this older woman here, the one who asked about alcohol, she got this growth on her face. And she called us and talked to my wife. And I think she wanted us to like bring her to the hospital and help her get some medicine, something like that. But my wife prayed for her over the phone and said, we'll trust God to heal you. And sure enough, he did. It just immediately cleared up in the following week. And she was impressed, like, wow, how does this work? You didn't even kill a chicken. You didn't even sacrifice a pig, and offer to the spirits. There's no chanting involved or anything. You just prayed and asked God. And she's like, I want to believe in this God. And so on her own dime, she got on a bus, got on a truck, then got on a bus, came all the way up to the city where we lived, went to the Kamut church, a different tribe altogether that's in the city there, and was baptized that Sunday. And we were thrilled. But she left that afternoon, and we gave her a Bible and said, read this, pray. The cell phone signal was terrible back then. There was no way for us to even call her and try to encourage her through the telephone. It was too far away to go disciple her on a regular basis. And so we felt like we were just kicking this little lamb out among the wolves and like, good luck, God bless you. And she went home and, with just that one word of encouragement, read this Bible, pray. If you can find other Christians, then, gather together with them. That was about all we could do. We were happy, but also kind of not too hopeful for her and her faith. It was over 2 years later that I, with our team, we developed this training. in that, I want to see what's the next picture. Oh yeah, that's when she got baptized there. That's the niece. We had this training. We invited her to come to this training. And I was like, we haven't even talked to her for 2 years. I don't even know if she's still a believer. And so we reached out through her aunt, and she said, yeah, she'll come to our training. So we were equipping them on how to share their faith and how to multiply disciples, multiply churches and things like that. And the first day when we got there, it was all men, and she was the only woman. And we had them all introduce themselves. And she said, yeah, I became a Christian 2 years ago when Elliot and his wife and my aunt came and shared the gospel with me. And since that time, I've led 12 other people in my village to Christ. We're like, wow, we thought she had surely, you know, fallen away, but now she had spread that faith to others because of her testimony. And then we had another training a few months later, and she came, and when she introduced herself at that training, she said, yeah, now it's 25 people. And then the following spring, we had a conference with some Mien believers in America that came to visit, and she shared her testimony there. She said, now we got 70 believers in our village. Praise the Lord. Now, sometimes people, you know, ask me, so you won the Mien people to Christ? I'm like, no, I didn't. I didn't do anything. I thought it was a waste of time. I thought what we did that day was a waste of time, and I was completely discouraged and didn't have faith. But God did, you know. We plant, we water, but God makes it grow. And that's what he did among this Mien people. And so I want to share a little bit more about who we are as a mission organization. As Jeff said, we lived in Laos for 15 years. And when we moved to America, we started Mekong Multiply. And so I want to share a little bit about that with you. Our name is kind of weird. A lot of people ask, what does that mean? And the Mekong is actually a river that flows from the Tibetan Plateau in southern China all the way down through Indochina and touches all of the countries on that peninsula. And so it's representative of Southeast Asia, which is our scope, our region, our focus for our mission agency. And Multiply is, we use that in our name because we're committed to reproducibility, to multiplication, the idea that it's not just spiritual experts who do all the ministry, but our role as leaders and as missionaries is to equip people so that they can do ministry. And so we want them to multiply their faith, multiply disciples, multiply churches. And hopefully that'll lead to movements that will reach entire people groups. That's what we're all about. Now, our tagline is Eyes on Jesus, Eyes on the Unreached. And that is because in Hebrews, you know, it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we know, I think, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we need to fix our eyes on him. And when we fix our eyes on him, we'll see a couple things, right? We'll see that he's looking back at us and he loves us, right? And we had a great testimony yesterday about Panim, the face of God. And we want to fix our eyes on the face of God because his gaze is upon us, right? But we also notice another thing, and that is his eyes aren't just on us, you know? His eyes are on the world. I quoted to you John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. When I was young and in vacation Bible school, they taught us, well, you can change your name, put your name in there. For God so loved Elliot that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, if Elliot believes in him, then Elliot will not perish. And we personalize it in that way. And I think that's true. I think that's good. But we miss something when we do that. God doesn't just love Elliot. He loves the world. And when I give my life and I get saved and I have eternal life, I don't just love God back. I love the world like he does. And that is something that we often miss because we often think, well, I'm saved, so I'm good. That's all I need to worry about. But if we have the heart of God, we care not just about him, but we care about the world because he died for the world. All right. If he, in fact, God the Father gave up his only son because he loved the world so much. What are we willing to give up to love the world, that the world would know him? And so eyes on the unreached, Matthew 24:14. This is when the disciples came to Jesus and asked him, you know, what are the signs of the times? How do we know these things will happen? And he goes through all these things about these terrible things that are going to happen in the world. There'll be wars. There'll be rumors of wars and all these things. And he says, those things have to come, but that's not the end. And then at the end of that section, he says, but this gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. That's the end. That's what we should have our eyes on. It's not, you know, the cable news that looks at the wars and stuff. Those things have to happen. Those things are important. But the real sign of the end of the time is when the gospel has been preached to every last nation, to every last people on earth. Then the end will come. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know the order. We know that the gospel will be preached first, and then the end will come. That's what Jesus said. And so if Jesus' eyes are on the unreached, then our eyes should be on him and also looking at the unreached too. You know, I know youth group, we used to play this game where all the kids are in the room doing stuff, and then all of a sudden one of the leaders starts looking at the ceiling. Like, what? You know, just, and all of a sudden everyone else starts looking up there too. There's nothing up there. But it's like you're looking at it, everyone else starts looking at that too. You know, if we look at Jesus, we see his eyes aren't just on us, his eyes are on the unreached. And so our eyes are therefore drawn to the unreached, to those who haven't yet heard the gospel. What is unreached? Let's talk a little bit about that. Hasn't everyone heard the gospel already? I remember meeting a guy in college, and he asked me, we're about to graduate. He said, what are you going to do after you graduate? I said, I'm going to become a missionary. He's like, that's weird. He goes, you know what? I saw this National Geographic documentary about this tribe in Brazil, and they had still not heard about the gospel. And I was like, oh, Craig, that's not just one tribe. You know, that's over almost half the world that hasn't heard yet. And so we live in this day and age where we are so saturated with the gospel here in our home. We have so many opportunities to hear about Jesus and to follow him if we really just want to, that we just assume that everyone has. And that's what we want to unpack. So unreached means people with no access to the gospel. They couldn't become Christians even if they wanted to. And it's not the same as lost. Sometimes in our language we confuse, oh, they're unreached. No, they're reached. They're just lost. And that's different. So you could divide all people in the world into two categories, and this is the most important two categories that exist. That is saved and lost. In fact, in the Bible, Jesus tells many parables, right, about how he's going to divide the sheep from the goats, right? He's going to divide the wheat from the chaff, the good fish from the bad fish. And the whole point is that when judgment comes, that's the main division that matters, right? We want to be on the right side of that, okay? And that is important. But you can also divide the lost into two categories as well. And this is what I want to talk about. And that is lost reached. Basically, people who have heard the gospel, they understand it, but they don't want it. All right? And then there's lost unreached. The people who have not heard, have not, or don't have any access to it. And they couldn't become Christians even if they wanted to. And that's what our focus is. Paul says in Romans, how can people have faith in the Lord and ask him to save them if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? That's the whole point. That was Paul's heart, to go and preach the gospel to those who had never heard the name of Jesus. And that's our heart too as a mission organization. And I think that's Jesus' heart, because he said the gospel will be preached as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So what is an unreached people group? You know, when it says preach the gospel to all nations, the word nations is translated from a Greek word ethne, and that is where we get our word ethnic, okay? An unreached or least reached people group is not a nation or a country like we think about it, but a people group among which there's no indigenous community of believing Christians with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize the people group without outside assistance. And so that is why that people group, that nation, that ethne needed someone with the gospel on the outside to come in and share it with them. That is the missionary task. Now, if we look at the whole world and divide it up by population, it would look like this pie chart here. Do you guys like pie? I love pie. I think we should change our tradition instead of birthday cake to birthday pie. Do I get an amen on that one? Amen. I like pie. Well, here we got some pie for you today. And this is dividing the whole world's population up by region. You know, the bigger the population, the bigger the slice of the pie. And what you'll notice is that India is so big, it gets its own piece of pie. It's about a fifth of the world's population. China is the same thing. So India and China, they're so big, they get their own piece of the pie. And if you start at the top, you got Latin America, which is basically everything from Mexico on down through South America. And their piece of the pie is so big. And the smallest piece of pie on this pie chart is North America and the Pacific. So that would be United States, Canada, Australia, the Pacific Islands. Our combined population is actually smaller than any of these other regions of the world. You got Europe is the next one, and then non-Muslim Africa. So basically everything in southern part of the continent of Africa, non-Muslim Africa, is that's their piece of the pie, a little bit
bigger, almost maybe just a little bit bigger than Europe. And then other Asia, so that catches the rest of Asia besides China. And then you got the biggest slice of the pie is your Muslim majority countries, which are shown here in the Northern Africa, the Middle East, and Central Asia, all those Stan countries up there, as well as Indonesia, which is in Southeast Asia, but that's the largest Muslim country in the world. So that's how the world looks if you divide it up by population or by region and by population. So the question is where do the unreached live in these regions of the world? Well, there's some in all regions, but here it goes. Whoops. So if we look at the colors here, sorry, I'm walking you through all these graphs and charts and stuff, but we got the orange is evangelicals, people who believe we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus and we believe the Bible is true, okay? Those are evangelicals. And then the other Christians is the yellow, and that would be more of your traditional Roman Catholic, Orthodox, people who claim the name Jesus but don't really believe the Bible in the same way that we do and about the importance of a personal relationship with the Lord. And then you have non-Christians in the green, that is the culturally near non-believers. So those are non-believers that, like we have right here in Helena and Montana and America, they're people who are in the same culture, the same people group, same language as us, but they've chosen not to follow Christ, okay? They don't even claim to follow him nominally, okay? And so that's the green. And so if you look here on this side, you'll see like in North America, we got a big portion is the orange, and then another big portion is the yellow, and then the green is up there too. China has quite a few evangelical Christians, actually, but a whole lot of in the green, non-Christians, but they're in the same people group with Christians. They have access to the gospel. But what you notice here is the blue means the unreached peoples. Those are the people who have not heard the gospel, okay? And the dark blue are those with less than 0.1% Christians in their own people group. And we call those frontier people groups. But for our purposes today, just think blue, all the blue is unreached. And this is what we will see. We see other Asia, Muslim majority countries, and India are where most of the unreached people groups in the world live today. Now, one of the problems we have, I think, here in America is that we just assume if it's outside America, it's unreached. That's a really bad assumption. A lot of the countries that we like to go to on mission trips, if you look online and do some research, they actually have a higher percentage of evangelical Christians than we do here in America. But they're popular mission trip destinations because they have a church and it's easy. And it's cross-cultural for sure, or might even be poor, but it's very reached with the gospel. And so this is why I think it's important for us to educate ourselves and understand where is the gospel. If the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached to every nation, to every last people group, and then the end will come, how do we know where that is? We need to consider that. Now, according to United Nations, there's roughly about 195 countries in the world. But if you look at people groups, anybody want to make a guess how many people groups there are in the world? 27,000. That's pretty good. Anybody else? What's that?
Too many.
Too many. Oh, I don't know. God created them all. So there's actually about 17,000, so a little bit off, but pretty close in the same range, 17,000 people groups. That's reached, unreached, all of them together. Roughly, you know, it's hard to count them sometimes, but approximately. Now, of those that are unreached are over 7,000, 7,417 approximately unreached people groups left in the world. And in the dark blue category, that's almost 5,000. So of those 7,000, there's about almost 5,000 that are less than 0.1% Christians. They have the least opportunity to follow Jesus because they don't have any access to the gospel whatsoever. So here's the kicker, everyone. And here's what I want you to take home with you and consider, okay? What does God want you to do about this? And that is that for every 30 missionaries that go to the reached world, only one goes to the unreached world. So pretty much only the orange is the people who are sending out missionaries. And we'll send 29 missionaries to places that are yellow or green. And we'll send one to places that are blue. It's not wrong to do ministry among reached people and lost people who are reached. That's good. God wants us to do that. It's just the imbalance. It's the imbalance. Jim Elliot said, if you see 10 men carrying a log, 9 on one end and 1 on the other, on which end are you going to help out? And here's another thing. If we looked at finances, not finances that are offered to God at church all combined, but just finances that are designated for missions, less than 1% goes to ministries that reach unreached people groups in the blue. And that's just the way it is. And so I think we need to consider that. Now, where do these young people live? If we look at a map, back in the late 1900s, they came up with the 1040 window. So from 10 degrees north to 40 degrees north, this is the area of the world that most of these unreached people groups live in. And that's good. That helps us to visualize on a map where unreached people groups are. But the problem with it is it's a rectangle. And so you'll get Spain and Italy, but you won't get Indonesia. And so a little bit better way to look at where the most of the unreached people groups in the world live is like this. These are the countries that have a high percentage of unreached people groups in them. So you can see it's that same area of the world from Northern Africa to Middle East, South Asia, East Asia, and Southeast Asia. That's where most of the unreached people groups live. Now, if you were to put a little red dot on the map for the whole world, one red dot for every unreached people group, then it would look like this. And so, yes, we do have some here in America, and most of those are immigration groups that have moved to America. Immigrant groups that have moved to America. But you can see it's so thick in Northern Africa, India, Southeast Asia. This is where Laos is right there. That's where the biggest need for the gospel and for missionaries is. So what are we going to do about that? Our organization, Make All Multiply, we're kind of unique. We have a very specific scope, which I already shared with you, is the unreached people groups of the region of Southeast Asia. That's the region of the world that is south of China, east of India. And there's about 700 unreached people groups there. And our unique approach is that we are reaching people groups in Southeast Asia by sending out what we call national missionaries. Okay, we're not against foreign missionaries, especially if a foreign missionary is willing to sacrifice their time, live long term, learn the culture, learn the language. But we find out that national missionaries have a few advantages. And so what we do is we, in a place like Laos, this is a map of Laos. I'm sorry to you over here. I keep looking this direction, but I should look over here. This is a map of Laos. And Laos has about 200 people groups. Some of them are reached. A few of them are reached. Most of them are unreached. So the green here represents reached people groups. The red represents where unreached people groups are. So we will recruit. We'll find local believers among the reached people groups. We will equip them on how to engage unreached people groups with the gospel. And then we send them out into those other unreached people groups in their own country. And so that's why we call them national missionaries. And then we walk with them and coach them as they do this process of planting churches, sharing the gospel, making disciples, planting churches, and helping churches to multiply to movements. That's what we do. And the goal is that every people group in the country would be engaged with the gospel, and an indigenous church would be planted in every last village, and that multiplication would happen and lead to movements of people to Christ. That's what we pray for. And that's what we'd like to ask you to pray for as well. Our current projects right now, we're in three countries. We're in Laos. We have two projects. One's called the Final 58. The other one's called Launch Laos, which I'll share a little bit more about here in a moment. And then we also have Shine Sumatra on the island of Sumatra in Indonesia. One of the provinces where we're working there is it's a whole Muslim country, but that province has Sharia law. And so if a Muslim becomes a Christian there, they could legally execute them. Typically they don't, but that could happen. There's a lot of persecution there. And then also in the country of Myanmar, we have a project there called Mekong Myanmar. And so in Laos, we have about 40 or so national missionaries. In Sumatra, we have 8. In Myanmar, we have 24 national missionaries that are sending out, all of them as teams of two, to different unreached people groups. So how might you play a part? Well, I got some things for you. Are you guys ready? Yes. All right. Do you want to play a part? Yes. Oh, I didn't hear that very well. Do you guys want to play a part?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it. Not with what we're doing, but with what God's doing. It doesn't matter to me if you're like, support Make All Multiply or support us. No. Support a frontier mission that's doing something in the world somewhere. And this is what I want to challenge you to do this morning. That is to pray, to learn, to go, and to send. And so the first thing that all of us really need to be doing is praying. You know, Jesus told us to pray on a few different occasions. One, he said, pray for your enemies. He taught his disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer. And he also said to, when he had compassion on the people who were like sheep without a shepherd, he said, ask, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers into his harvest fields. So we need to pray. That was one of Jesus' commands, is to pray. And you can adopt an unreached people group for prayer. Joshua Project is a great resource. If you look up Joshua Project online, it has kind of a little profile on every last unreached people group in the world. They have maps. You can click on them. It's really good. Learn. I think it would behoove us as Christians to understand what missions is really about. Because like I said earlier, a lot of us just assume anything outside of America is unreached and is a mission field. Well, no, that's not really true. There's many countries in the world like Brazil, like South Korea, they're sending out more missionaries per capita than we are in America even. And they have a very well-established church. And so we should learn. The Faith Road is my book. I think Jeff mentioned. Be happy to hook you up with that book. And then a course that I told some of my buddies who helped me go bear hunting this week is the Perspectives on the World Christian Movement course. If there's a local course, I encourage you very much so to take this course. I took this course in seminary. God used it to change my whole direction from South America to Laos. And it doesn't mean you're going to become a missionary if you take this course. It just helps you to understand what is God's global purpose. What is God trying to accomplish in the world throughout history? Helps us to get that greater perspective. Because often we're kind of selfish in our faith sometimes. We just think, what do I need to do to go to heaven? And we think that's what Christianity is all about. But it's more than that. God has a plan for the whole world to redeem the whole world and to bring glory to himself. And this course helps us to understand what is God's global purpose, that he would be praised by all the peoples on earth because he deserves their praise. And so this course helps us to understand that. We also have a course called Get on Mission. It's kind of an equipping course on how to share your faith for any believer that wants to learn how to bless people, how to pray for people, how to share the gospel, share their testimony, and start groups and multiply disciples. All right, and go. You guys have a short-term mission trip coming up, right? Join it. Go. Get some experience going to another country, another culture. See what God's doing around the world. Join us on a trip. Become a missionary. You know, I was sitting in places like this, and I heard people challenge us. We need to go. Who's ready to go? Who will go for us? When I was a kid, I grew up in Missouri, out in the country, and I remember we would drive around at nighttime sometimes just to see if we could see deer out in the field. You guys do that? And if you see a buck, it was really exciting. And all we had out there is white-tailed deer. And so we get so excited when we'd see a deer or see a big buck. And one time, my brother and I, he was 5 years younger than me, and we were riding the bus home. We used to ride the bus to school about 45 minutes both ways. And we were riding the bus home, and we came by this field, and there's this gigantic buck walking through the field, you know. And we were like, wow, look at that thing. It's huge. And we got into an argument. You know what we argued about? We got to an argument about who was going to tell mom and dad that we saw that big buck. We were so excited, we couldn't wait to tell them. We knew they would love it. They would love to hear there's a big buck in the field up the road. And I'm going to tell them. No, I'm going to tell them. I'm going to run in the house faster than you, and you won't get a chance. You know, we got an argument about that because we had some good news to share. So how come when we think about sharing the best news of Jesus with people who've never heard it, we don't get into arguments. Who's going to go tell them first? Instead, it's like, who has to do it? I don't have to do it to be a Christian. That's what we say, right? No, we should have the opposite attitude. Well, I'm going to go tell them. No, I'm going to go tell them. Let's go. Let's have that attitude to go share the gospel with people who've never heard. But not everybody can go. And if you can't go, then send. All right? And so this is kind of like a DoorDash. You become a financial supporter is one way to send national missionaries. We send our national missionaries roughly about $400 to $500 a month that supports them completely. That's way less than what it would cost to send a foreign missionary. And so we can send many more if we can't go ourselves. But this is, like I said, kind of like a DoorDash. When if you order online, it's like, you have to make a choice here, but they only give you one option. And so these are your options, okay? Pray, choose one, it's required, but it's only one. You got to pray. I think as Christians, we need to pray for what God's kingdom to expand. In fact, Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer when he said, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. A lot of times we don't even know what that means. That just sounds like religious talk. It says, it really means may your name be honored as holy. It's honored as holy by some, but not by all. And may it be honored as holy by all. It's a request to God. The second one is may your kingdom come. We often say your kingdom come thinking, oh, that's just a statement. His kingdom is coming. No, it's a request. May your kingdom come. His kingdom has come, but it hasn't extended yet to every last people, to every last people group. So our prayer is that his kingdom would advance. And so that's what we need to be praying for. Learn. I think, again, it would behoove us as Christians to understand. We watch the cable news every night. We know what's going on around the world in terms of politics. But we don't know what's going on around the world in terms of missions. And that should not be if we are followers of Christ. His mission should be more important than what they talk about on cable news. And then the last one, you get to choose one, go or send. You can do both. You can choose both if you want. But if you can't go, send. If you can't send, go. These are the things, because we don't just care about us being saved. We don't just look back at God and say, thank you. We look at God and see he's looking at others who have not yet heard about him. Jesus died for them. And so we should have a heart for them too. Anyways, will you adopt one of these groups? I don't have time to tell you the story about churches that have supported us and have adopted an unreached people group. We had a church in Virginia that adopted the Mien people. Now, I joined a mission team over there that was focused on reaching a different people group called the Taidam. And when they were up in that part of the country working with Taidam, they had Taidam people, they had Mien people, they had other tribes as well, but they saw God work among the Taidam because their church in Missouri was praying for them. And even though they saw Mien people, shared the gospel with Mien people, no Mien people believed in the gospel. And then the year I showed up, and when I say that, it really sounds kind of arrogant. I showed up and things changed. It wasn't because of me. I didn't do a thing. I just was there, and this church in Virginia that was supporting us was praying for the Mien people. Mien people started showing up saying, we want to hear the gospel. I remember one Sunday morning, a group about 10 came in. They said, tell us the gospel. And so I was like, oh, okay, this is it. This is missions is happening right now. I prepared for this. And here, they're here. They want to hear the gospel. So I sat them down. We were sitting in a big circle, and I took a whole hour explaining everything from God created the world, Adam and Eve, Noah, everything. And they listened very patiently. And I was ready, you know, to argue if they like want to say, well, what about this? What about that? And I got done and they looked at me and they said, okay. And I was like, okay, what? Okay, we want to believe. I'm like, well, I didn't know it was supposed to be that easy. And so I guess we need to talk about getting, you know, praying and getting baptized and all that. But that was God working, you know. I didn't do those things. I often say that sometimes God does use us. He works through us. He puts us in places where we can be obedient to him and serve him, and he honors that and blesses that. Praise the Lord. But many times he works in spite of us, and he often gives us a front row seat to see what he's doing. And I've been very blessed to have a front row seat to see what God did among the Mien. And I credit that to the churches that adopted these people groups and were praying for them. Right now, we have these seven groups in southern Laos for Launch Laos Project. You have pictures of four of those seven. And we want people to adopt these groups to pray for them. And just pray that our workers who are sharing the gospel with them would be effective, that they would overcome obstacles, that they would withstand persecution and be fruitful in sharing the gospel. And I believe that that's the main work that we can do is pray. And so consider adopting unreached people group. If not one of these, go to Joshua Project. There's unreached people groups all around the world that you can pray for. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out his workers into his harvest field. And then in Isaiah saw the Lord in the temple, high and lifted up. The smoke was coming out. Everything was rumbling, and he said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, among a people of unclean lips. And the angel came, put the coal on his lips, says, your sin's been atoned for. And then God said, who will go for us, and whom shall I send? And I love the attitude of Isaiah. He's like, here I am, send me, send me. I want to tell mom and dad about that big buck. I want to tell these unreached people groups about Jesus. Here I am, send me. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that we can worship you. Father, we just pray that we would not be selfish with our faith, that we would not be selfish with the opportunities that we have to worship you. It's good to be grateful, Father, but that gratitude should turn into action for those who have less access to the gospel. Father, I pray that through your Spirit that you would work in each of us this morning, that we would learn, that we would pray, and that we would either go or send, but we would be joining with you in your mission, in your great global purpose to redeem a people from all peoples, that your name would be glorified and honored and lifted up by every nation on earth, Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who is worthy. Amen.
Amen. Would you please give Elliot